Morena Etifano. I'm called Roman Toko Ingoa. My name's Roman. And I've had some things on my heart that I've asked if I could share, and today's the day. So hope you're as excited as I am. If I can read what I've written, that'll be the next thing. So starting with Psalm 94, verse 19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. When you combine different translations together, it sounds like this. When my busy thoughts were out of control, or I was upset and beside myself, the soothing comfort of God's presence would calm me down, cheer me up, and bring delight to my soul. One way that God has helped me to conquer fear and anxiety amidst the challenges and uncertainty that we are all facing in this moment in time has been to really tap into God's presence and to praise and worship him. There's something powerful about coming together to praise and worship God. Worship is a powerful and effective form of warfare, and worshiping God together in unity shakes up the heavenly realms. Even more so when we are praising God either by ourselves or together, it is hard to be anxious or fearful. So Psalm 94 verse 19 has kept me anchored in the truth proclaimed in God's word to help me fight the fear and anxiety that I have been experiencing during this uncertain time in our world and community. So I have continued to declare the word of God and his truth into my situation. But it hasn't always been easy, and I've found that when God gives me a strategy to combat the enemy's attack, it has not come without resistance. The enemy does not want truth to prevail. So today, I want to declare God's truth out loud because there's power in his word when we do this. So there is fact and there is truth. At the moment, there are a lot of facts being proclaimed, but fact is not truth. There is a pandemic raging in the world right now. That is a fact. But what is the truth? What does God's word say? God's word says that Jesus is the truth. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is also the Word of God made flesh, made human, and the Word of God is truth. John 1, verses 1 to 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Psalm 119 has a lot to say about God's word, but here are some verses that I picked out. Verse 89, "Your word, Lord, is eternal, and it stands firm in the heavens." Verse 98, "Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies." Verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path." And verse 160, "All your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal." Another way for that one is, "The eternity of your word is truth, and the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it goes on to say, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So God's word of truth also says that he will protect us. In Psalm 91, verse 1 to 7, it says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." Two aspects of God's word of truth that I found in this passage were that we are to dwell in God's shelter and rest in his shadow. And when we do that, he will be our refuge and our fortress, and we can trust him with our lives. In verse 4, it says his faithfulness will be our shield and rampart. A rampart is described in the dictionary as being a defensive wall of a castle or walled city, having a broad top with a walkway and typically a stone parapet. It is a fortification, the main defensive structure around a guarded place. That is a pretty massive structure that God's faithfulness is made out of. And it sounds impenetrable. God's impenetrable faithfulness will uphold his word of truth to those who dwell in his shelter and rest in his shadow. Right. It is a fact that right now there is division, anger, and even hatred from differing opinions and viewpoints, which breeds fear and anxiety in the world, our country, our community, and even amongst friends and families. But God's word of truth says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our struggle is not with people, or even governments and various authorities and organisations, nor is it with our local businesses who may have a different viewpoint and have taken a different path to ours. Sometimes it can seem that the enemy's voice is very loud and demanding, that those rulers, authorities and powers of this dark world of Ephesians 6 verse 12 are having a field day shouting lies and deceit everywhere, creating havoc and causing division. But firstly, I'm reminded that when God speaks, he is not loud and fearful sounding. He is not angry, aggressive, demanding, insulting, arrogant, rude or obnoxious. He speaks to us in love, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness and with self-control. In 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13, God speaks to Elijah when he was hiding in the cave, fearful for his life. And God came and spoke to him and said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." We know by the story that God wasn't in the great and powerful wind, which tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks, nor was he in the earthquake or the fire that followed. But after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Secondly, Ephesians 6 verse 12 is followed up by how we should be wearing the armour of God constantly to protect us and to help fight these evil forces. The very first piece of equipment mentioned in Ephesians 6 verse 14 is the putting on of the belt of truth. That is because the belt of truth holds up your pants. Or in those days, it girded the loins of the Roman soldier so that he was able to move freely in and out of battle without tripping up on his garments. Isn't that amazing that when we put it on our belt of truth daily, that we can move freely in and out of battles we face, whether they be battles of lies, fear, anxiety, or sickness, or anything else you can think of? The belt of truth gives us resilience. And attached to the belt of truth is where we wear the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Jesus is the word of God. He was the spoken word of God. It is truth that God loves us no matter what our opinions are of worldly matters. God loves the person sitting next to you even if they think differently to you. In Romans 8, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" But in verses 37 to 39 it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Yes. It is a fact that people have rights and are allowed to voice those rights, whether it be through protest and any other lawful ways. But in Titus 3, verses 1 to 2, it says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people." And in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So God's word of truth says that we are to pray and intercede for our leaders and those in authority. Our tongue is a powerful weapon. Will we use it to build up or tear down? Will we use it to quarrel and argue, or will we remain gentle in our ways and show courtesy towards all people? And the word of God is very clear when Jesus says in Mark 3, verse 24 to 25, that neither a kingdom or a house that is divided against itself can stand. Instead of speaking with tongues of division and fear, we will speak with tongues of fire, as in the day of Pentecost when the disciples were gathered together and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they all started speaking in other tongues and languages. It says there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. When we, the body of Christ, are united and are speaking the language of the Holy Spirit, people will understand us no matter what their language is. Instead of hearing a language of despair, disillusionment, hatred, or fear, people will hear the language of the Holy Spirit spoken in unity. If you are worried or a bit fearful about the future and the uncertainty that comes with it, or whatever side of the fence you may be on regarding decisions being made or strategies being employed by our governing authorities, I'm reminded of God's word in Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7, which says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end." The government will be on his shoulders. That means the weight of responsibility and the authority to rule and have complete dominion lies on his shoulders, not ours or any earthly authorities. And to go with that authority, he is a wonderful counselor. Or another way of saying that could be amazing, extraordinary advisor and strategist. According to different translations, if we are worried about the decisions and strategies, Jesus is the ultimate strategist. He is extraordinary, in fact. He is mighty and strong, the Father of eternity, and our Prince of Peace. And his governance and peace is so great it surpasses our understanding and is never ending. So God's word is powerful and faithful in the present, but also gives us hope for our future. He gives us revelation, allowing us to glimpse into the future so that we will remain hopeful and strong in our faith, even if that is not reflected in our current circumstances. A story of mine is when Andrew and I were living and working in the Australian outback 23 years ago, and our eldest daughter was born out there. She was born premature, just over 5 weeks early. We transferred to Alice Springs 2 weeks after she was born, so there we were, first-time parents of a prem baby in the middle of the Australian outback with no family within 4,000 k's of us, and we didn't know a single person in Alice Springs. As the days went by, she was slowly weaning off the tube feeds, but sometimes when it was a breastfeed, she would fuss and it would take over 45 minutes to an hour for me to be able to get her to latch on. After one such time of my trying to get her to feed and she wouldn't, a midwife came to help. I can remember feeling so hopeless that I would never get my baby home and she would never learn to feed properly and my attempts to breastfeed would probably fail. The midwife said to me, "I don't want to make you feel worse, but it can take a full-term baby up to 6 weeks to get the hang of breastfeeding before it becomes easier, and she's not even full-term yet." Whilst the midwife's intent was to bring a sense of reality into my moment of stress, this was a moment of revelation for me. I was suddenly filled with hope. This was my first baby, and she wasn't doing anything by the book, so I had no idea if anything was going to be successful. I felt like God had just spoken to me through that midwife. Even though there was no guarantee of success, I was strengthened and encouraged to continue on and not give up. So that was my story. But in Luke 2, verse 25 to 32, there's a biblical example of God's revelation through hope. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon did not live to see God's salvation being fulfilled through Jesus' ministry, but he was filled with hope for the promises of God being fulfilled when he met Jesus, because God had revealed it to him ahead of time. Psalm 27 verse 13 says, "I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I just think that is such an amazing word of truth and promise to all of us just in that one sentence. One last truth that I felt God has shown me, I heard the words "bridge over troubled waters." If Jesus is our way, truth and life, then he is the only bridge that connects us with God the Father in his throne room. He is the only reliable bridge to connect us with each other. Jesus says to Nathanael in John 1, verse 51, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This was in reference to Jacob's ladder of Genesis 28. It was the words, "You will see heaven open and you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on him," that stood out to me. Jesus is the ladder that Jacob saw that bridges our visible world to his invisible world. I thought of the Lord's Prayer, which says, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I had this thought that as we connect with heaven through Jesus, we get to see what he sees. The words "heaven open" to me means it will be visible to us or made known to us. Jesus is our bridge to seeing his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The main purpose of a bridge is to connect places where there is an impossible impasse. There are many types of bridges, and the type of bridge built depends on the purpose of the bridge and the environment that the bridge is being built in. But whatever the bridge type, it needs to be safe, sturdy, and able to handle its own weight and the weight of whatever it has been built to carry, plus withstand the forces of nature, and a bridge must be maintained. In Isaiah 46, verses 3 to 4, it says, "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried you since you were born, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." This passage tells me that Jesus is the most sturdiest and safest bridge to sustain us and carry us over these times of troubled waters. And he can withstand the elements being thrown at him. All we need to do is stand upon him, walk on him, allow him to connect us with his heavenly realm, and our connection with each other will be able to withstand anything thrown at it. Jesus is the only bridge that will withstand shaky ground, such as friendships where we have to agree to disagree on topics. The type of bridge that is built will be different and look different for everyone, depending on the particular troubled waters that are flowing in the situations we face. But it is the only bridge and the only connection that is reliable to withstand the turbulent waters. Jesus is our way, our truth, and our life. That's all I have to say about that.
So that's all she has to say about that. Wasn't that amazing? Yeah? And as you sat there and as you listened to her read the scripture, life's being imparted. Yes? Because the word of God is living and it's powerful. We don't always feel it, but we need to hear it. Isn't that good? And, you know, that Proverbs 14, has said, confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in awe of him. And their devotion provides their children with a place of shelter and security. To worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within you. Isn't that amazing? So, as Bronwyn brought this, something happened this week that really emphasized her word, and I felt that God wanted us to just finish with this and with the time of this, because we can, when we're in our workplaces, going about our lives with all the stuff that's coming at us and bombarding us and trying to shake us from the confidence and strength of God and the truth of his word, we need to be able to bring ourselves continually to that fountain of life and light and love. Yes? See, Jesus is the way, truth, and the life, but it's the way of love. It's the way of the love of the truth has come by love, and the life has come by love. Yes? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Yes? All our truth is bathed in the love of the Father for us. And love casts out all fear. Fear removes power from us. That's why in the song that Cindy, I was singing, was about receive the light, receive the life. See it, because we need to be in confidence of the love of the Father for us. Yes? Not just about the word, not just about claiming the word, but living the word of love and life and the light, which is Jesus. Yes? So this little five-year-old came to me. She's got a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit in her. And she had been on holiday with her parents and collected shells. It's from the East Coast. And within the shell, she had collected little, I think they're called sea glass. So the little bits of glass that are sort of polished and smoothed over by the waves. And she collected them from the west coast, from Oakura Beach. And she put them together. And she brought them to me. And immediately I heard the words, I set you as a seal upon my heart. So I went into Song of Solomon. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. It says, who is this one? Look at her now. She rises out of her desert, clinging to her beloved. When I awakened you under the apple tree, as you were feasting upon me, I awakened your innermost being with the travail of birth as you longed for more of me. Fasten me. This is the bridegroom. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave. All consuming as the flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire, until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore. And I felt these words as she gave me this gift. And this is a five-year-old who just wanted to give gifts to people. And so I brought one from her. And then God said, buy the lot. So I bought the lot. She was very excited. She had a lot of money in her little cat purse. But it also allowed me to pray over her and to bless her and to prophesy over her that the word of God can speak out of her creativity. And I believe that that's true for her, and I believe we're going to see out of this young girl as she grows a creativity that will have an entrepreneurial aspect to it, so be ready to pay. And but it speaks of the heart. So when I'm reading Song of Solomon, when I went into the interlinear concordance and looked into the Aramaic and the Hebraic words for this, it says for a seal. Sometimes it's meant as a signet. And I've often heard it talked about as a ring, so a stone set into a ring. But this is what it says. It says the Hebrews were accustomed, like the Persians in the present day, sometimes to carry a signet hung by a string upon the breast to be close to the heart. That it's a symbol of the heart. Do you know that you are his jewel set into his heart? That each one of you is so loved, so passionate for him, and he wants you to set him as a seal upon your heart. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I just want to speak, I believe there's a deliverance here today. As I'm going to gift these, there's a deliverance from worry. You know, Bill Johnson says that worry is just a place where you haven't invited Jesus into yet. Kind of true, yes? If he's the way, the truth, and the life, worry can rob us of the light and the life, of the love of Jesus in us, who says we are more than conquerors, yes? Fear paralyzes us. Who's had fear where it's paralyzed you? I have. I've had to walk through it in a big way. I know some of you here are struggling with that. Some of you are struggling with the fear of failure or failing again because you did, you've got up, but now it's you've got to go again. I have one of those for you. And by the way, men, this is for you too. So it's kind of cool to have a shell, you know, put it on. You know. I love the fact, because I said, oh, it's a ring. Guys aren't going to want to wear a ring. And then I found that wonderful description that they wear it in a necklace close to their heart because he's set as a seal upon his heart. So if this is you, fear of failure or failing again because you're getting up and God wants you to go again, he wants you to run again and lighten life, but you're worried that you're going to trip up again, you're going to make a mistake, this is for you. Worry, if worry keeps coming at you, these are for you. A fear of getting it wrong, we just have to actually do away with that. Being so locked into the church, I feel it's a part of that legalistic spirit. You got to do it right or you're not okay. Isn't that a load of rubbish? Let's just flick that one in the love of Jesus. Let's just flick it in the love of Jesus because Jesus loves you so much. It says if you fall, if a man falls seven times, he'll just lift him up again. That's cool. I think I've fell more than seven, but he's still picking me up. If you've got a fear of even believing in his promises again, because something hasn't come to pass. You've got a fear of being knocked back or knocked down. That actually the enemy seems too big when you take a step forward. I love that whole thing about a rampart. It's a fortress. His love is a fortress. the knowledge of his love. The fear of success, I think that's for someone here. There's almost like a hesitancy to step out and be successful. A fear of man, you're just so trying to be cautious and make yourself be okay around people. A fear of the unknown, you just don't know what's going to happen in life. It's wonderful. My husband is a brave man. He's just such a courageous man, and I love him dearly. And he's, and I know he won't mind me sharing this, but he says, a lot of people say, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He says, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm okay. I'm just trusting Jesus. Yes? Trusting Jesus. Because if you trust him, you can't go wrong. He does not fail us. His love for us is so much that he will make a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes? And all because the love of the Father loves us. That he gave us Jesus. And then Jesus loved us so much that he went to the cross. That we would have that intimacy and be set as a seal upon his heart. Isn't that cool? And then there's a fear of not having enough. Well, Anne Frank, in an attic in Amsterdam for 2 years, comes out with this truth that says you can never outgive God. Never outgive God. Isn't that amazing? Oh, isn't that amazing? So I'm going to set these out. And if any of that has spoken to you, I believe you need to take it as a prophetic sign that you're flicking the fear and you're choosing to trust Jesus. I don't have enough for everyone. But I know that there are some people who need this. I know it as a prophetic sign. I know it as a prophetic action. And I could pull out a couple of you, but I'm not sure that I want to. No. You know, an orphan spirit. I was adopted, and they talk about an orphan spirit. And an orphan spirit brings an insecurity and a striving and a competitiveness. And that insecurity is so much that you don't know where home is. And we're going to just finish with a song. And if you're struggling to find home in the comfort of God and in the joy of God and the love of the Father, we really want to pray for you. I want to read again. I want to read Ephesians 3 that Bronnie mentioned. Bronnie, you did so well. Well done. You're going to have to get used to it. Because there's more coming. You know, the Apostle Paul, I wonder if we could stand, or you might want to kneel. But the Apostle Paul says, so I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor, until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will undo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. He has said us. Who is this? Just begin to lift your hands. Who is this one? Look at her now. She arises out of her desert, clinging to her beloved. When I awakened you under the apple tree as you were feasting upon me, I awakened your innermost being with the travail of birth as you longed for more of me. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave. All-consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious love until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore. Lord Jesus, we yield to you. Take care of everything. Will you say that after me? Lord Jesus, I yield to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, we yield to you. Take care of everything. Let your love just calm upon the people. That white cloud of revelation knowledge, wisdom and revelation of the love of the Father. Right now, just coming into hearts right now. As we worship him, you know, worship just releases all fear. If that has spoken to you, if you know that you're facing something that you can't quite shift and you feel stuck, worry or concern, bring one of these and I'm really happy to pray over you, as others are too.